We're going to do it together. We have to unify, put our petty differences aside, who's more powerful, who has the information, and let's work together in lockstep. You, the people, your stories are fascinating. They're real, they're organic, and they're the truth.
Right now with Ann Vandersteel.
And good evening. Welcome to Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. 30 minutes of hard-hitting headline news, all signal and zero noise, brought to you by the Satellite Phone Store. Go to sat123.com. Tonight, the WHO is marching towards a brand new world order, and yes, Congress apparently in lockstep. It's just disgusting what we see unfolding up there on Capitol Hill. And COVID jabs still killing people, and now the Medicare data even proves it, as if we needed that. And Arizona, the drama, it continues. Will it ever end? Apparently, it's not over till it's over. And Mike Adams, our fearless leader and founder of Brighty on TV and Natural News, and Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen, brace for impact. Apparently, they've been right all along. We're live here exclusively on Brighty on TV. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at sat123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit sat123.com to get one while they're still available.
Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that Congress has now passed an act that pre-approves in advance any agreements coming from the World Health Organization. This is for all the marbles, ladies and gentlemen, because apparently they are now going to be subverting the treaty process requiring the review and occurrence of two-thirds of the United States Senate. It's just come to light that within the National Defense Authorization Act, which passed in Congress in December, is another act that actually appears to have been a pre-approved, whatever instruments are approved by the WHO, catastrophe. This act within the act is now named the Global Health Security and International Pandemic Prevention, Preparedness, and Response Act of 2022. And if you really want to get into the nitty-gritties, go turn to page 950 of the 1,722-page NDAA with a short form title, which of course Biden has now signed into law back on December 23rd, 2022, and the pre-approval provision needs to be expunged. It can be found in section, if you really want to do your homework and lobby for Congress, go to section 5560, C2CVI. Now, what's important to know is what's coming in the IHR, the International Health Regulations, of this new WHO subversion of our constitutional sovereignty. The WHO is meeting all week in Davos, and you need to understand there's actually two separate tracks that they're going to use to try and steal our constitutional sovereignty. These two tracks of the World Health Organization are implementing amendments to the IHRs, the International Health Regulations, and the Pandemic Treaty, both expanding powers and the role declared in health emergencies and pandemics. And those also involve widening the definition of health emergencies within such powers that they may be used. The first agreement involved proposed amendments to the existing IHR, which is an instrument with force under international law that has been in existence in some form for decades and was significantly amended in 2005 and 2003 during the SARS outbreak. The second is a new, quote, treaty that has similar intent to the IHR amendments, both following a path through the WHO committees, public hearings, and revision meetings to be put to the World Health Assembly, the annual meeting of all country members or state parties of the WHO, probably in 2023 and 2024, respectively. The discussion on all of this here concentrates on the IHR amendments, as they are the most advanced. Being amendments to an existing treaty mechanism, they're only going to now require a 50% approval of all the countries to come into force, subject to the ratification process specific to each member state. The new treaty, again, I have to use air quotes for this, will require a two-thirds vote of the World Health Assembly to accept it. The WHA's one country, one vote system gives countries like new, with fewer than 2,000 residents, equal voice to countries with hundreds of millions. Let's consider India, China, the United States, and through diplomatic pressure, tends to corral countries around their beneficiaries. This is the hill to die on, folks. I can't say it enough. The amendments to the IHR are intended to fundamentally change the relationship between individuals and their country's governments and the WHO. They're placing the WHO as having rights that override the rights of individuals, erasing the basic principles developed after World War II regarding human rights and the sovereignty of states. And in doing so, they signal a return to the colonialist and feudalist approach that is fundamentally different to that which people in relatively democratic countries have become accustomed. I can't say it enough, they're going to subvert your constitutional freedoms. A new bill would protect American sovereignty against the WHO. This is now coming out of GOP senators, U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn out of Tennessee and Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. They've now introduced legislation in the upper chamber this month that says they would be a safeguard of American sovereignty against the World Health Organization. Someone seems to have some common sense, not coming out of Congress, that's for sure. And according to them, the legislation would require any convention or agreement resulting from the work of the WHO's intergovernmental negotiating body be deemed a treaty, requiring the advance and consent of a supermajority of the Senate. This is coming out of a statement that was made on February 27th, published on Senator Blackburn's website. The proposed legislation is named the No WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty Without Senate Approval Act. Well, there's a war going on in Capitol Hill, and it's up to us to make sure we're constantly in contact with our members of Congress and the Senate and demand that we withdraw from the WHO and we do not sign anything submitting to the IHR or this pandemic treaty. And this is why it's so important, because finally, Medicare is now showing us that there's data coming out that the COVID vaccination increases your risk of dying, as if they're late to the party coming with this information, but the U.S. Center for Disease and Control and Prevention has always had access to Medicare records, but has never made them publicly available. And if the data supported the official narrative that the COVID injections are safe, the CDC would have made that data publicly available for anyone. Well, on February 25th, Steve Kirsch was given an Excel workbook with over 114,000 records of deaths by vaccination status from the Medicare database. He authenticated that data with matching records that he already had in his possession, and it showed the vaccines are making it more likely that the elderly will die prematurely, and the risk of death remains elevated for an unknown period of time after being injection. In short, ladies and gentlemen, the CDC has lied to the American people. There we go with that fascist public-private partnership. And to add to that, the king of fascism himself, Dr. Fauci, just admitted that the entire, air quotes, science, remember his speed of science behind trying to stop COVID with vaccines, doesn't work. Commenting on the Wuhan coronavirus C19 injection experiment this week, former National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease head Tony Fauci confessing the shots do not work as claimed, attempting to control the mucosal respiratory viruses with systemically administered non-replicating vaccines has thus far been largely unsuccessful. Question, Should we pay homage to a murderous lying thug like Dr. Fauci for coming clean on the basis of viruses and immunology? And in addition, if leading medical journals such as the New England Journal of Medicine or the Lancet had employed editors with such knowledge 3 years ago, might there have been some contribution to public health rather than the gutting of society and global human rights? If those in authority had actually explained these truths and based their policies on them, things would have also been very different. What a catastrophic failure for the entire medical establishment. Total abject divorce of their Hippocratic oath to first do no harm. Death, poverty, and inequality might have all been avoided, and trust may have also been maintained in the institutions with which they work. Speaking of institutions losing their trust, right here in Sarasota, where we shoot this show every single day, Sarasota Memorial Hospital is going to be holding a press conference. But it's not the hospital. It's yours truly with the Zelenko Freedom Foundation. This press conference will be right outside Sarasota Memorial Hospital, who has been engaging in the COVID death protocols and profiting on them. But what makes this very interesting is that we recognize as a publicly funded hospital, $65 million last year of taxpayer money from the local Sarasota residents, funded the death wave, the killing ovens, the fact that the hospital was implementing the COVID protocols of remdesivir and ventilators, putting patients to death without their loved ones by their side. We have whistleblowers coming forward, people like attorney Tom Renz, Kevin Jenkins, my co-chair of the Zelenko Freedom Foundation, and other physicians like Dr. Brian Artis and many others, including Dr. Jane Ruby, will all be in attendance along with Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers discussing the ill of the advice that they've been administering vis-a-vis these COVID protocols. So please, if you're in the area, we'd love to see you. It's going to be widely attended. Now, getting on to the Arizona hearings, Wendy Rogers has put out a press release talking about her frustration with the information that was brought forward last Thursday in a hearing in which Representative Liz Harris requested to host an elections presentation before the House and Senate. Both chambers agreed, and the presentation took place during the above-mentioned meeting in the Senate. As part of the presentation, a speaker was invited by Representative Harris that alleged that several public officials had violated criminal law. Well, Pete Santilli was frustrated with Senator Wendy Rogers' explanation in her press release, trying to distance the chamber from the events that unfolded that day, saying the information needed to be presented to law enforcement. Pete Santilli, in his own words.
Today, this is a big news story right here, believe it or not. Wendy Rogers, having published her response, right? I have also, on behalf of our listening audience, published my response and sent it to her. I published my response, and it goes as follows. As of this morning, February 27th, in direct response to your press release, the statement on presentation given to American Patriot House Representative Liz Harris, who they want to remove now. Did you know that? They're wanting to remove her because of what she did by bringing these people forward. But I would like to express the following on behalf of my viewing audience. Any suggestion that criminal activity not brought before the legislature is preposterous, especially considering that the allegations also involve law enforcement corruption and complicity. This is not conjecture. You know that the Maricopa County Sheriff's Service containing voter data commingled with law enforcement sensitive data is the crown jewel relating to evidence of election fraud in Arizona. For many months now, you have been made aware of this and failed to correct the fraud issues prior to the 2022 midterm election. Due to the seriousness of the allegations that were brought before your committee, especially as they relate to potential bribery, money laundering, and mortgage fraud, I am requesting that you publicly announce that you will voluntarily submit to a comprehensive forensic audit of all real property transactions in your name dating back to 2020. Additionally, I encourage you to call upon your fellow Arizona legislators to do the same in the interest of full transparency with the public you serve. Of course, I would also request that you provide documentation of your report to law enforcement of potential criminal activity that was brought to your attention at the hearing. Your timely reply is not only very much appreciated, but critical to the investigations that are proceeding in Arizona on these very serious matters impacting the entire country. Wendy, In case you're not already aware, the public was repulsed by your dismissive public statement. It was revolting on so many levels, but we must move forward in the best interest of the American people. Your prompt reply would be very much appreciated. Sincerely, Peter T. Santelli. Is that the right thing to do?
I mean, it's your thing to do. And listen.
It is my thing to do.
It is. As an American citizen.
I'm going to have comments on that when we come back after this quick commercial break. Stick with us right here on
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at RightEonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at RightEonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, RightEon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at RightEonStore.com today.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivvy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivvy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
When we last left you, Pete Santilli was lamenting his disappointment in Senator Wendy Rogers, who was actually dismissing the investigation that was brought forward by Representative Liz Harris, stating that the investigation should be presented to law enforcement. Well, it had been presented to law enforcement last year, to the Attorney General of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, as well as the governor, Governor Doug Ducey, and four other U.S. attorneys. The fact that nothing was done, I believe, is why Liz Harris brought this forward to the committee of Congress, and or I should say representatives in Senate, state senators in Arizona. But again, that's Pete Santilli's perspective, and we respect his right to freedom of speech. Here's what I find interesting. Now that the money laundering allegations that was presented last week in the hearing are out about Katie Hobbs, and that the former Attorney General Mark Brnovich did have this information presented to him last year with those four U.S. attorneys. Katie Hobbs is now calling for an ethics review on the former Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. Following the investigations into the 2020 election, including the Arizona audit, which discovered an irredeemably compromised election, Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich showed how unserious he was by tweeting a video of himself playing with nunchucks. Does anybody remember this foolishness? That's right. The clip went viral with the nation laughing at him as Arizonans called for Katie Hobbs' arrest. Then after the controversial 2022 election, Brnovich gave a weak statement on the election, deflecting the blame onto county supervisors who were threatened with class 6 felony charges for not certifying the corrupt results. This is the state eating their own. And again, on Monday, Katie Hobbs urged the Arizona State Bar Association to conduct an ethics review on Brnovich. Apparently, no one is safe from the illicit crimes, not even the rhinos. Well, the crime continues up in East Palestine, Ohio. 8 alarming cover-ups and contradictions in the East Palestine train wreck of chemical nightmares is now spreading across multiple states. And when it comes to explaining why away the single largest ecological catastrophe in the history of America, the EPA and Ohio officials just can't seem to get their story straight. Every explanation they offer is a contradiction or a cover-up. and they refuse to test for one thing that poses the greatest health hazard of all, dioxins. Dioxins are always created when chlorinated compounds are burned within a certain temperature range, and they're also the most deadly chemical compound known to humankind. They can actually be toxic at parts per quadrillion in concentration. Put it another way, ladies and gentlemen, it seems that they cause toxic effects on the human body at concentrations 100,000 times lower than where glyphosate begins to show toxicity. That's just an estimate, but the real number may be a million times or more. Yet, the EPA and Ohio authorities all refuse to test for dioxins, or at least they refuse to release the test numbers publicly. Well, President Trump took to Truth Social, where he dominates on that platform, to put this out. Wow, is the Washington Post becoming legit? They just reported that the weak and totally ineffective Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, lied when he said that the Trump administration's great and effective reduction in regulations, a giant job producer, had nothing to do with the East Palestine train derailment. It was just more Dem disinformation in order to deflect from their gross incompetence. Really good investigative journalism by the Washington Post. Keep it going. Well, now you juxtapose that with food industry whistleblowers who are now warning about crops near East Palestine and that chemical rail disaster, that fact they may be tainted for years. The devastating environmental catastrophe that occurred up there in Ohio has resulted in severe contamination of air, soil, and water in vast areas of the region, this prompting the question of how much of any of the food grown in that region will be safe for consumption. This is coming straight from a whistleblower who spoke to the Economic Collapse blog. Apparently, there are several factors that will cause food supplies to be tighter, and one of the biggest is the fact that the Ohio spill has contaminated a lot of water, stated by the whistleblower. Well, Brighty on TV and Natural News founder Mike Adams and InfoWars founder and host Alex Jones, brace for impact when I say this, mainstream media, they've been right. Major U.S. energy providers predicting blackouts across 13 states thanks to forced renewable energy and a push by the Biden regime. That's right. These major energy producers are now predicting rolling power outages and sustained blackouts over the next few years thanks to the Biden regime forcing the country into relying more on renewable energy and less on fossil fuels. And just like Mike Adams, along with top radio host and broadcaster Alex Jones, have been predicting, the warnings keep coming that the force-fed energy transition to renewable fuels is destabilizing the U.S. electric grid. Another SOS came Friday in an ominous report from PJM Interconnection, one of the nation's largest grid operators, reporting outlines of a forecast of power supply and demand across 13 eastern states with its territory covering a population of up to 65 million up to 2030. Its primary finding suggests that renewable sources are being developed at slower paces than fossil fuel power plants as they're retiring, which could result in energy imbalances, making this a tactful way to indicate that power shortages and blackouts are likely to occur. We've been warning of this, they've been warning of this, and folks, here we are as we roll on into a hot summer season. The summer of rage, it's coming. Speaking of rage, you should be furious with this next headline. Taliban is now using fingerprints and gun records to track down Afghans who have assisted the U.S. And this is all coming out in an audit as of late. That's right, operatives of the Taliban government in Kabul are trying to identify and retaliate against Afghans who have cooperated with the 20-year American military and reconstruction effort, using fingerprint records, gun records, and other methods to sniff them out and target them for retribution, all coming out of a government report. 18 months after the resident at the White House, that's Joe Biden, withdrew the last U.S. combat forces from Afghanistan, the radical Islamic regime remains intent on revenge against those who serve the Afghan National Defense and Security Forces, the U.S. Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction said in a survey being released. The hasty, bloody evacuation in the summer 2021 resulted in casualties for U.S. forces, friendly Afghans alike, critics saying the operation left behind tens of thousands of Afghan nationals who work with the U.S.-led military in the country as the Taliban consolidated power. Of course, we know the backlash from the collapse sent Biden's approval ratings into a sustained freefall in the early months of his presidency, and I submit to you, they're still falling. And of course, what isn't falling, which in fact going the opposite direction, going sky high, Biden's DHS is now predicting 390,000 migrants at the border every month after Title 42 ends. According to the proposed federal rule from the Office of Immigration Statistics, encounters with illegal immigrants could average 11,000 to 13,000 per day after the lifting of the Title IV 42 public health order, absent additional policy changes. Multiply that number by 30 days, it's going to translate to a monthly total ranging from between 330,000 to 390,000 per month. In addition, this is likely that tens of thousands of illegal aliens would slip past Border Patrol, in addition to that, successfully entering our country without ever being detected. Well, former President Donald Trump, who invoked the Title 42 back in 2020, at the height of the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic, under his edict, the federal immigration officials could quickly deport illegal aliens to Mexico for posing a threat to public health. And of course, the Biden regime later attempted to end Title 42 last May, but being prevented by doing so by the Supreme Court. Now the administration seeks to end Title 42 on May 11th of this year, alongside lifting of the COVID-19 public health emergency. Remember what we talked about at the top of the show, the possible new pandemic when the IHR is passed, where the pandemic treaty is passed. They'll roll out the next wave to lock us down, ladies and gentlemen. Brace for impact. So, folks, I wish I could tell you the news is getting better, but it's not, because if you consider the fact you've now got Rhino Jeb Bush releasing a gushing endorsement of Ron DeSantis for the president, likening Ron DeSantis to his father, you now know what direction Florida is possibly headed and the country should Ron DeSantis ever attain the title of presidency. Former Florida governor and failed 2016 presidential candidate Jeb Bush offered an effusive praise of current Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is readying his own run for the presidency in 24. "There are people in public life," said Bush, "who are kind of the check-the-box politicians, and then there are others who want to serve. And Governor DeSantis is one of those." Wow. Jeff Bush compared DeSantis to his father, George H.W. Bush. I take that as an insult personally, but hey, who liked DeSantis went to Yale University and was captain of the baseball team while attending the elitist institution? Jeb making it explicitly clear that he supports DeSantis' ambition for the presidency in 24. I got to tell you, folks, for those that had any questions about who Ron DeSantis is and who supports him, and anybody that's jumping on the bandwagon of Ron DeSantis when you see a Jeb Bush speaking effusively of him and George Soros saying he has a chance to beat President Trump, you might want to take a pause on all of that. And speaking of pausing, Vanguard CEO is now pausing and abandoning his ESG investing alliance, saying they're not in the game of politics. That's right, the environmental, social, and governance scores, which has been a hotly debated topic over the past few years. This seemingly unquestioned march towards corporate utopia has now met with resistance among those who oppose the idea that government oligarchs should dictate the affairs of private business firms. The long-term effects of the ESG movement are largely ignored by the mainstream, and ESG is largely justified on the basis that corporations and financial institutions should be socially responsible. They should work obsessively to address the perceived menaces of climate change, racism, sexism, and host of other subjects. Our benevolent political and economic elite define what is virtuous and what is not for a grateful public. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thought corporations were in it to make money for their shareholders and to provide goods and services for the public. I had no idea that corporations were supposed to be about governing me and how I can spend my money. So as of late, apparently there are some naysayers that dare to stand up to the socialism by stealth promoters, with Tim Buckley, who's the chief executive of Vanguard, perhaps the biggest name yet to buck the ESG orthodoxy. To you, Mr. Buckley, I say that's wonderful, because you've withdrawn your firm from the $59 trillion net zero asset managers initiative in an organization that is part of the $150 trillion United Nations affiliated Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero. He says, and I quote, "We don't believe that we should dictate company strategy. It would be hubris to presume that we know the right strategy for thousands of companies that Vanguard invests with. Could the tide be turning? In the meantime, if it's not, I hope you invest with Kirk Elliott. Get your money into sound investments that are constitutionally based, gold and silver. Go to KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann, KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann. And get a consultation with a team of people that have your best interest in protecting your family's wealth. That concludes our show for today. I appreciate all of you, as always, tuning in to Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. We're a brand new show in our brand new beautiful Brighteon studio, shooting right here in Sarasota, Florida. We will be back tomorrow evening, 8 p.m., for another edition. Till then, have a great evening, everybody, and good night.